Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. We have an exciting show for you today. You see the tie, what's the tie? What's he doing with the tie? He never had a tie. We're going to be talking about the tie. And we're going to be talking about Islam, submission to who? To your nafs, to your desires, to a man, to a woman, to a monkey? No, to the one who created you. But some people have come to that state. They've acknowledged that there is a creator. There is a purpose why I'm here in this life. But now they want to try to form an agreement with the one who created them and say, you know, I'll submit to you, but you're going to let me still drink. I'll submit to you and you're going to still let me have my girlfriend. No, it doesn't work like that. And to cover this this is a very important topic because you want to be successful in life, in this life and the life to come. You know there's going to be a day of judgment. You're going to be judged. And then there's two places to go, the delights of paradise or the hellfire. We want to stay away from that. So let's bring out my next guest to cover this topic. My brother and your brother, Kemal El-Mekhi. Come on out, my brother. Assalamu alaikum. Have a seat. You're here on the Deen Show.
Everybody watch Deen Show. The Deen Show. Deen. Allah. There's only one God and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah. La ilaha illallah. Allah. There's only one God and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
Peace be unto you.
Alaykum salam. Peace be unto you.
Thank you for being on the Deen Show.
It's my pleasure to be on the Deen Show.
This is exciting to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Now, I heard something, or you heard me say something from back there. I mentioned something about tie. I've never worn a tie in the show. Excellent. Now, there's might be somebody who's like, man, Eddie's sold out. What's happening, man? He's imitating the so-and-so. So can you tell us, clear this up. Because we want to talk about something that's so important to us. And this is very important also. So let's just clear this up. Is this permissible in Islam to wear a tie?
Okay, yes. First of all, yes, it is permissible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't want to get in trouble with anybody.
Well, hopefully.
Because I want to do this the right way. We want to do this show and we want to do everything, dress right, look right, and we want to talk right.
And you look great, if I may say so.
MashaAllah.
Excellent. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with the tie, yeah? And initially, or historically, the tie had another piece to it that made it look like a cross. So basically, your shirt had two extra buttons here. And then you had the material similar to that of your tie, same design, same pattern, and you would basically button this other piece across, and then when you put the tie on, it looked like you were wearing a cross. Uh-huh. So because of that, some kind of hatred and issues developed in the hearts of Muslims specifically for the tie. But obviously it's no longer that. So as scholars say that there's nothing wrong with wearing the tie because it's become a common piece of clothing. It's not anything that would single you specifically to be belonging to a specific creed or religion, because everybody wears the tie, you know. So there's nothing wrong with it as long as you're not doing it for the sake of imitation. Maybe you're just wearing a normal garment and it's not made of pure natural silk. So there's nothing wrong with it.
Sean. But what about imitation now? Now, where some people say you're imitating a certain people, what are you going to say about this?
Well, the scholars have spoken about that, and they said that, you know, imitating where it's not permissible is where you wear something that signifies you belong to a specific belief system or a specific creed. So wearing the yarmulke, for example, would make most people think that you're a Jewish person. Or wear that collar with, I don't know what they call it, but that collar, the priestly collar with a white part in there, would make you look like you're a priest or, you know, something like that. Or wearing a cross would make you specifically look like you belong to a certain belief or creed. But wearing the suit and tie, if you see someone in a suit and tie, even in the Muslim lands, you don't think, is this man Muslim or not Muslim? It doesn't necessarily represent any belief system or religion.
Yeah.
And for that reason, the scholars say it's permissible.
You'd have to take off just the whole suit then. I mean, that just...
Yeah, because sometimes you wear, and I also wear a lot of suits and ties, and I love wearing the suit and tie. And a lot of times people will meet me and they'll say, take off the tie, because then you're resembling non-Muslims. Well, what about the rest of the outfit? You know, the shirt, the pants, the jacket, and the vest, and everything else. So you just have to remove everything. Uh-huh. But because it doesn't specifically mean you belong to any certain belief or anything like that, there's no issue with it. Inshallah, this is what the scholars have said.
Okay, so now you guys can continue Eddie's Eddie, and he hasn't sold out to Freddie, and everything's all good and steady. So here we are.
Excellent.
So, all right, so let's go on to the topic. We need to submit, and we need to do it how the Creator wants us to do it. But there's some people that now they want to submit, which is something natural, to submit to the one who created you mm-hmm. and do the beautiful things that he's called you to do, and then right. get that beautiful thing that money can't buy, peace.
Yes.
But now some people want to barter now. They want to start playing games. Talk to us.
See, well, first of all, you look at Islam, and Islam comes from the root istislam, which means to submit. And it's funny that you want to enter the religion of submitting, but you don't want to submit 100%. That's why people laugh at the oxymoron or of saying, I'm a non-practicing Muslim. Uh-huh. Because the Muslim is the one who submits to his creator. So if you're a non-practicing Muslim, that means mm-hmm. you're a non-submitting submitter. Uh-huh. Which really doesn't make much sense.
No.
Because we're supposed to submit 100%, we're supposed to submit to Allah, and when Allah says go right, you go right, he says go left, you go left, because that's the attribute of someone who has submitted to the Creator. Mm-hmm. You know, just like if you have a student who doesn't listen to a single word the teacher says, teacher can't describe him as being a submissive student, or, you know, mm-hmm. or a child. You know, if you have a child who doesn't listen to you, you can't say, well, he's very submissive. So when you submit to Allah, you do what he tells you to do, because mm-hmm. he's the Creator. And you are the servant, or you are the slave, if you want to be more specific even, you see? So a lot of times you'll find people, and we meet sometimes non-Muslims in the street, and they want to become Muslim, but they have stipulations. So mm-hmm. they'll say something like, and I'll become Muslim, but I don't want to stop drinking alcohol. Or I'll become Muslim, but I love my pork chops. So I'll be a Muslim, but I'll still eat pork. Mm-hmm. Or they'll tell you things like, you know, I want to keep doing whatever it is that they want to keep doing because their heart is attached to it. Sometimes there's one person who made so many stipulations and then he said, I'll become Muslim. I just had to ask him, look, you're forgetting that Islam is about submission.
So you've had a lot of these practical
absolutely.
Situations happen?
Absolutely. And we're going to get to to the Muslims as well, because some Muslims have submission issues as well. Uh-huh. But some non-Muslims would say, you know, they would have so many stipulations and then say, I'll submit if I can do all these things. And then you tell them, look, this is the religion of submitting to Allah. But you have conditions and you want to submit only if this happens or only if that happens. And that's not really coming into Islam, not really submitting. Because I always ask people, who is the Lord and who is the servant? You know? You're trying to set down the rules of your own religion now and yet claim that you're submitting to Allah.
Mm-hmm. You know? You would, I mean, just interesting, if I can interject, I mean, if you had a boss at work, you know, a big corporate company, and now you're not going to go and sit there and, you know, give them ultimatums and say, I'm going to, you know, change the rules. And
I'll work for your company, but, I have to be able to leave at this time and I can do
doesn't
that
work like
and
that.
I take this any time off that I want to.
Yeah.
He's going to say, you know what, go, we'll get someone else.
Or the police pull you over and say, you know what, I'll drive on this road if you can make it 60 instead of 40 or...
And you don't have that choice
you know,
with many things in life. But people are okay with submitting there. Uh-huh. I'll tell you, I actually met this guy one time, and he claimed to have an issue with submitting.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think that he's probably a very stubborn guy who doesn't submit to any authority or anything on earth. So he started telling me, I have a problem with submitting to anything or anyone. So I immediately told him, but you do submit. You submit every single day to so many things. And he immediately realized it, that he submits to the traffic laws. He stops at the traffic light. He does this. He drives at the speed limit. You know, he doesn't do what's illegal. He has to do, you know, certain things to stay out of trouble. So then
That's submitting.
You're submitting. So I told him, but you do submit. And he immediately realized, and he said, yes, you are.
Because maybe the word, people aren't used to hearing this word, submit.
That's true. And because, you know, this exaggerated thing of freedom, you're free to do as you please, as long as you don't step on the toes of the majority, which isn't really true, because when you look at society, you'll find so many do's and don'ts in it that you're not really free. And that's why, you know, a lot of Muslim scholars and philosophers, they argue that there is no such thing as absolute freedom.
Let's stop right there. So there's no such thing as absolute freedom. And we're going to take a break and we'll be right back on the Deen Show.
Excellent. No speech is better than to do da'wah, to call people to Allah and to do the work.
No speech is better.
No, nothing is better than that.
Is it true that if one person on the Allah giving you the ability to guide someone with Allah's permission, the Creator's permission, that is better than everything in this world?
Better than the whole world and everything that's in it. In another narration, it's better than the best of wealth. But if we really felt that, Eddie, would we not be out giving da'wah?
And this is something that we encourage all the MSAs, all the dawah organizations, the masjids, to get this. We want to print more. We give these to the non-Muslims for free, for free, for free. We want our brothers in humanity to become our brothers in faith. And we're back with my brother, your brother, Sheikh Kamal Melki, on the Deen Show. You're really not free. You think you're free, Talk to us. That's where we left off.
Yeah, you can't find anyone on earth who is 100% free and has no restrictions, no limitations, doesn't have to follow any law or anything. I mean, there's no such thing as absolute freedom is what people tell you. There's no such thing. And so everything, you know, it comes with its price. And even if you want to imagine some guy out there in the wilderness who has no laws and nothing, he's still bound and he's still a slave. It might be that he's a slave to his own desires. And some people are slaves to their own desires. They follow their desires so much that they can't break away from that. They're just pulled in. So they're even not free when they pursue their desires to the max. They're still not free.
But hold on. Free, there's some song back from Jah, free to do what I want, free. What?
There's so many of these songs and it's so many, every commercial is talking about how we love freedom and that's why you have, you know, you get free minutes.
So what are you
here.
Talking about now? They're like, what are you talking about? We got songs about freedom, this, that.
I'll tell you something interesting. Uh-huh. All right, so I grew up around the world, right? And before coming to the States, I was in Africa. And it's funny that when I came from Africa to the States, people would always tell me, but you definitely enjoy your freedom more here, right? Like, what are you talking about, all right? No one assigned any number to me when I was in Africa. Nobody took anything from my paycheck. Nobody told me where I could park. No one told me how fast I could drive. Nobody told me how to do anything. It's a mess there. Mm-hmm. So if you want to argue, even though it is a mess, if you want to argue, though, I was more free there than here. Mm-hmm. But of course, I mean, I'm not saying let's not have a structured society. What I'm saying is that, you know, people, if you're told that you're free enough times, as many like of your liberties as they take away, as long as you're being reminded that you're free, you may not notice that you're not as free as you think you are, you know. So anyways, the idea is that nobody is totally free, absolutely and 100% free. Everybody submits to one thing or another, whether it be their desires, whether it be man-made laws, whether it be a government or any kind of entity. Mm-hmm. So we always argue with people that if that's the case, then you might as well submit to your creator. If you're submitting anyways, submit in the right place, put in the right place, and you get some reward out of that, and you go to paradise as a result of that.
Because you're eventually going to die.
And you're going to submit to the wrong place anyways. You just change that submission, switch it over, direct it to the right place.
Yeah.
Because everybody submits to one thing or another.
So now we're talking about that submission to the, like you said, the right place, to your creator. But people realizing, acknowledging, because Islam is rational, it's practical, all the proofs and evidences are there. It's not blind faith.
Absolutely,
it
yes.
backs up everything that you need with clear, authentic evidence. Mm-hmm. But even people, they realize this, but again, back to what you were saying, they want to continue doing things their way.
Right. And actually in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the second chapter of the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O you who believe, enter into totality, meaning enter 100% into Islam. Not 90%, not 95%, not 98%, but enter 100% into Islam. But like we were saying, you know, people, they have issues with submitting. It could be that their desire, you know, is pulling them in a different direction, so they don't want to submit to Allah. Whatever it is, something that they love of this worldly life too much. And the example, as I always say, even with Muslims, you find Muslims will have submission problems. Like I said, someone who smokes, when he's told that it's prohibited in Islam, is not allowed to smoke, they try to argue against that. They say, no, it's just disliked. It's not, you know, prohibited to smoke. Because what he's attached to, you know, he's attached to his nicotine, to his cigarettes. So he wants to argue there because there's the attachment. Somebody else, you tell him, you know, it's not permissible for you to use usury or get a mortgage through a certain system that's not permissible. But they badly want a home, so they start to argue with you. And someone else, or a woman, for example, or a sister doesn't wear hijab. She has no problem submitting when she hears that smoking is haram or prohibited. But then when she hears about hijab, then she starts going into, you know, excuses, but well, we live in this country, and if I wear hijab, I might be assaulted in the street, so therefore it's probably better for me to not wear hijab. These are all submission problems, and Allah says submit 100%, no excuses.
So what do we do now? Is this a dangerous thing now? Is this something that can be fixed? How do we fix it?
Well, yes, it is dangerous and it can be fixed, of course. And this is, and I like what you said earlier, because Islam is rational and it's reasonable. And Allah will never command you to do something that's an impossibility. That's why one of the definitions of the halal that I like is what Allah permits, but also agrees with you. You know,
it goes with your nature.
Yeah, it goes with your nature. So Allah is not going to command you to do something that just totally goes against human nature, and you find it, you know, distasteful.
It's not like something like a weight that you can't lift. Like someone say, lift 500 pounds, and you can't do it. It's something that the weight that you can lift.
And very few people can lift 500 pounds. Yeah. Just me and a few other guys. You know? So the thing is that, you know, we're in the day and age where a lot of people, they don't want to submit 100%. And we have something that the Muslims do. They do fatwa shopping, you know. When, you know, they find out that this is not permissible in Islam, they keep looking all over the place. They either physically drive to other imams and mosques until they find someone who tells them it's okay, or they go online and they do fatwa shopping online, and then they just add the fatwa to the basket.
Now we're playing. I mean, this is serious now.
I mean, this is
you're playing games with the deen.
I'll tell you, Eddie. It's gotten to the point where some people pray istikhara, which is how do you translate istikhara into English?
This is like the prayer of guidance.
Yeah. How about I invent the term decisional prayer?
Decisional prayer.
Does that sound fancy enough?
Yeah.
All right. So you pray for Allah to guide you. Should I do this or should I not do this? Some people actually pray istikhara to see if they can do something that's haram, you know? Like they want to buy a house through prohibited ways, and they'll pray istikhara to see should I sign the mortgage or not. That's like basically putting some alcohol on the table and then praying 2 rak'at and saying, okay, well, Allah help me. If drinking this alcohol is good for me, then make it possible. And it's right there, you know? You don't make that prayer about something that you know is clearly haram, you know? But that's what's happening now. People are so pulled and drawn, they don't want to submit 100%. And so they have all these colorful excuses for not following and submitting to what Allah commands us to do in the Qur'an.
Tell us, how do we balance it out? Because it is, I mean, we know that if this deen would have came upon a mountain, that mountain would have crumbled. Mm-hmm. Is this correct?
Excellent.
But now, you know, for the new Muslims who are coming into it, we're going to, and even Muslims who are starting to turn their life around, and now they look at this as just a lot of rules, and sometimes it can be just overbearing. How do we balance it out where they know that this is out of Allah's love, that He loves us, He wants what's best for us? So how do we balance it out where we don't play the games and we strive to submit to everything that the Creator wants us to do?
And let me work off of answering that question from the verse that you just mentioned, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna arna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna an yahminnaha wa ashfaqna minha." So Allah is saying that we offered this responsibility or this trust to the heavens, the mountains, the earth, and they refused it. And then human beings, they took this responsibility of themselves, this test of life, being tested in this life. Then Allah says, وَحَمَّلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. The human being accepted it, and his nature that he is ظَلُوم, that he is unjust, and جَهُول, that he is ignorant. And the scholars say that every problem on earth can be traced back to these two sources: ignorance and following your desires. Either you're ignorant or you're unjust because you follow your desire. You know that this is justice, but you want to do something that's unjust because you get some kind of benefit for it. Mm-hmm. You follow your desire. So every problem, and if you contemplate every problem on the planet, it goes back to ignorance, or it goes back to just someone being oppressive because they're following their desires. Look at wars, look at things that are happening around us. You find this oppression or total ignorance.
Define to us, so someone might know if they don't already, when we say following your desires, what does that mean?
It means basically that you follow whatever you would like to do. For example, you know that, let's just make a simple example, that doing a specific deed is not permissible, you know, but you have the desire to do it. You know that Allah said don't do it, but you have that desire to do it. And so now you follow your desire in doing it. Even if it means, let's say for example, someone might take the money of the orphan, or take the money from, you know, a business partner and rob him and be oppressive in that sense. Why? Because he's following his desire, his lust, his love for money. So in that sense, all problems can be traced to one of those two things. Now, it's one of the ways to kind of understand submission as far as it comes, it's related to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that, you know, you find that when Allah commands us to do something, when you examine it, you either find that it's 100% good or 100% bad if He tells us to stay away from it, or a mixture of the two. So So just very quickly, when you look at, for example, worshiping Allah alone and not attributing any partner to Him, right? This is 100% good. There's not 1% of evil in that.
Yeah.
So when Allah calls us to what we call Tawheed, worshiping Him alone, we look at it, we see that it's 100% good. Then Allah will warn us of worshiping things along with Allah, which is known as shirk in Islam. So you don't worship anything with Allah, you don't not any, worship anything besides Allah.
That's like worshiping the sun, the moon, a man, a prophet, a saint, an angel.
It could be a prophet, an angel, it could be someone really, a saint, a good person, still not worthy of worship.
Yeah.
So now when you look at worshiping things besides Allah, you see that it's 100% evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so clear to us when we should stay away from it. But then there are things in life that have a mixture of good and bad in them.
Yeah.
And these things, when you look at them and you see which one outweighs the other, you can understand why Allah made it halal or haram, permissible or lawful. For example, alcohol. You know, we know Allah says about wine in the Quran that there's good and bad in it. But the bad outweighs the good. And that's why we can clearly understand why Allah told us to stay away from consuming alcohol, because all the problems it causes in society, from accidents, from destroying homes, from destroying people's wealth, from getting people to do all other kinds of sins. So we can see clearly why Allah told us to stay away from alcohol or from, you know, wine or whatever intoxicant specifically.
Yeah.
So then it makes sense to us, and it's not that hard for us to submit. But now there are sometimes issues where you cannot find the exact reason, the exact wisdom as to why Allah forbade it. I'll give you one example. You know, when people go and make tawaf around the Kaaba, when they circumambulate the sacred house in Mecca, they make tawaf counterclockwise. So why not clockwise?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, the reason we do it is that that's how it was taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ. That's the reason. But what's the wisdom for going counterclockwise around the Kaaba and not clockwise around it? And you ask this question to people, most people don't know how to answer it because really there isn't a clear answer. Some people have said that, well, the heart is actually on the left side. Actually, the heart is not on the left side. It's in the middle. The loudest part is thumping on the left. Can be heard on the left. So, but suppose the heart was on my right shoulder. Can I make a left turn? What does that have to do with it? So, suppose the heart is on the left. Is that why we make you circumambulate counterclockwise?
Mm-hmm.
All right, some other people said, well, the earth is spinning counterclockwise. That's why we make tawaf counterclockwise. Well, that could be a wisdom somehow, but suppose the earth spun clockwise. I can't make a counterclockwise turn.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, with this issue, we don't know exactly all the wisdoms why we go that way, but we submit.
You have to know when to put your reasoning logic on hold?
Well, no.
Or put it in its place?
And actually, I'm coming to that because a lot of people think that there's a conflict between your intellect, or there could be a conflict between your intellect and what Islam teaches. And it could never be, because your intellect, you know, your good intellect will always agree with what Allah commands. Mm-hmm. But opinion can disagree with what Allah commands. That's why you find some people, they put their opinion in front of the commands of Allah. And they err, and they make mistakes. And guess who is the first person to do that?
The devil.
Iblis. The first one to do that was Iblis. Because he was told, he was given the command, and he put his opinion in front of what Allah commanded him to do.
Mm.
He started to say, I'm better than him. You know, he's created from clay. I'm created
from
smokeless opinion, fire.
Man.
Exactly.
And that's what we see prevalent today.
Exactly.
Ah.
And so your intellect will always agree with the Quran. Sound intellect will agree with Islam. Yeah. But your opinion can disagree because you follow your desire.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
I came from a science major. When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has four corners, that's wrong.
If any Christian can point out a single unequivocal statement, a single unambiguous statement where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says that I am God, or where he says, worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity.
Welcome back to the Dean Show. Okay, my brother, so continuing on. Now, the thing is, we want to use our reasoning, our logic, the tools that the Creator has given us to find out what the truth is, right?
Right.
But at what point do we say, okay, now we have discovered, we've been blessed that, okay, Islam is the way of life from the Creator. At what point do you now put the revelation before your reasoning and balance things out? You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, first I would like to assuage any fears that any non-Muslim might have that you have to blindly do things in Islam. And this is the great thing about Islam, is that everything, you the wisdoms are explained as to why you do or don't do something.
Yeah.
There's a logic. There's nothing that's just irrational that you have to do out of the blue, or that you're told, you know, to roll around in the dirt because there's some kind of blessing you'll get from the, there's, it's nothing like that. And I also will take this opportunity to explain that, you know, in some religions, when they use the word faith, it's totally different than how Muslims use the word faith. Faith, it just means this kind of blind belief, just like closing your eyes and just jumping in. Mm-hmm. That people will tell you, you have to have faith in God. I don't have proof, I don't know anything, but I just have something called faith, which is basically almost like this blind belief. In Islam, Allah asks, calls us to contemplate His creation, to contemplate His book, the Qur'an itself, to really contemplate it and look at it, that if it was from other than Allah, it would have, you know, flaws, discrepancies, contradictions in it. So this is something that, me personally, I love, that Allah tells us to think, to look, to contemplate. We were never taught, oh, shut off your intelligence and just... That's why one time one of my professors, my biology professor, we were talking about religion, and she said that I have to, I have, like, there are two me. Like, there's one me, the scientific me, and then there's the religious me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is a very bad thing to admit to. So yeah. I immediately came in with, well, in Islam, you don't have to separate your religious self from your scientific self. Because we don't have that conflict in Islam.
Yeah.
You know? You're never told to do something and it goes against logic and it goes against studies and it goes against, you know, rational thought. And that's why, you know, this is a great comfort for Muslims, that you don't have to have the scientific you and then the religious you. And so I shut it off then, and then now, okay, now science is gone and my years of study are gone.
You'll see that with a lot of the people that practice some religions, yeah?
And it's problematic for them,
yeah.
You know, because if I understand science and logic and I'm smart, then I have to shut it off just so I could believe in my religion. That means that religion requires no logic, no thinking, no rationale. That's not a good thing.
We as Muslims, we don't have to do that.
We never have that problem.
Okay.
This is the great thing. But I actually wanted to go over real quickly how we can convince someone when it comes to simple issues. And like I said, we encounter this a lot when someone will say, you know, I'll become a Muslim, but I want to keep drinking.
Yeah.
You know? Or I love my beer. Or actually some people will tell us things like, I want to become Muslim, but I love pork chops too much, mm-hmm. You know? And sometimes we make them realize what they're saying, because really what they're saying, it's something very shameful, you know? Mm-hmm. So we actually make them aware of what they're saying. And this is something we actually do. We'll tell someone...
Tell us.
We'll tell them this. Look, so someone will say, look, I really love my pork chops. That's the only reason I can't become Muslim. So you believe that there's one God, one creator? Yes. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is his prophet and his messenger? Yes. You're okay with the five pillars and everything else? Yeah, absolutely. So the only thing stopping you is that you love pork chops too much? But yes. You actually guilt them out of it, because it's very shameful. We'll tell them, listen, so Allah is the one who gives you everything that you have. Your health, your intelligence, the provision, the work, the job that you have, your family, your loved ones. Things that you cannot put a price on. Your eyesight, you know, your hearing, all these things. And every minute and every day He is keeping you in good health. How many days you could have woken up sick? How many potential accidents could you have had? And none of that happens to you. And then He gives you of so many kinds of juice that you can drink. So many kinds of meat. You know, you can eat all kinds of things from the sea, seafood, all kinds of fish, all kinds of birds. And you've got cows and sheep and goats. And you've got all these things. And He's given you so many different kinds of blessings and fruits and vegetables. And the human being can go without drinking for 3 days and without eating for 30 to 41 days, and you know, you can go through so much and survive so much, you know, physically. And you're telling me that this great creator who provides so much for me, I won't enter His religion, I won't submit to Him because I love pork. And you know, when we do that, but at this point, they're looking at the ground, they're like, Of course, I can leave pork. There's so many other things.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this, let's become Muslim.
Uh-huh.
So it works very well for us, alhamdulillah.
We're going to have to cut out so little time. We have so much to cover. We're going to have to, inshallah, have you back again.
No problem. Some closing
comments and advice for those who are going through some of these things that we just tackled in this show.
Well, you're not alone. And every problem and every obstacle that you encounter, someone else went through it. And a lot of times when someone would say, I can't leave pork, I would bring them my brother-in-law and say, look, He said his problem was he couldn't become Muslim because of pork. Then we asked him right in front of the person. He went through the same issue. Is pork an issue now? Like, I never think about pork. Every problem you're going through, someone went through it before and they overcame it. Because Allah will never ask for you to cross, to jump over a mountain or an insurmountable like obstacle. So everything that you're going through, someone went through it and they made it over that obstacle. And you will yourself, inshallah.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
May Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, reward you for being with us.
JazakAllah khair.
Wiyakum. I hope you got the benefit. I surely did. And all those who are sincerely, humbly trying to learn the truth, this should go down easy. And we would love to have you back with us again here on The Deen Show, same time, same channel. Check the show times at thedeenshow.com to see when we air on the TV. And also, you can view all of our shows at thedeenshow.com. We have some good news for those of you who aren't able to watch some of the videos and you love traveling in your car, you have your iPods. We now have the deenshow.com blog. And there you can get our shows, the Deen Show radio show on the podcast. And you can download it, share all of our shows with the world. Help your neighbors understand this beautiful way of life of peace that you get when you humbly and sincerely submit, not to your desires as we talk about on the show, but to the one who created you, who's given you everything. And he's going to give you more, and you'll be successful in this life and the hereafter. So those are some of the things that we have. Continue to come back, and we'll see you next time, inshallah, God willing, again here on The Deen Show. Until then, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. La ilaha illallah
Muhammadur Rasulullah. All of the prophets would have been labeled Muslims, because this essential message was the same message: submission to the will of God. This is God talking to you directly.
How could I stand behind the pulpit on Sunday morning and preach a sermon that I knew was at variance with the actual taproot of Christianity?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome back to The Deen Show. We're going to be discussing something that now you've come to realize that there's a purpose in life, and I need to fulfill my purpose the way my Creator wants me to live my purpose. That's to serve Him, to worship Him, to do the most beautiful things as He's told me to do, and then paradise, that's the reward. But now, as we discussed in the last show, this is part two to submission. What does it mean? And who am I submitting to after I agree to submit to the Creator? Now, there's other things getting in the way. So when I come back, we're going to be talking about this, continuing talking about it with Brother Sheikh Kemal Maki. And you can sing along with this show. You can sing along with this tune until we come back. You and the family. It's very simple. Allah, there's only
Deen. Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you very much for being with us again. We just had to continue talking about submission.
The good stuff, right?
The good stuff.
Okay.
Now, let's just go a little in reverse and talk about, to bring people up to speed. People can go back to thedeenshow.com. You, inshallah, have your own, you're going to have your own section there that people can go on and watch all the shows that we've done with you. And the first one that we did, this is a part two, was about submission.
Right.
And just kind of recap what we discussed in the last show before we continue on.
Okay. So first of all, in the last show, we spoke about first that Islam means to submit to Allah, who is your creator. So whatever He tells you to do, you should do it. If He tells you go right, you go right. Go left, to go left. But at the same time, He's not going to ask you to do things that are beyond your means. He's not going to ask you to do things that don't agree with human nature or things that are impossibilities, things of that sort. So it's very rational, very logical what Allah asks you to do. And a lot of times, out of His mercy and His wisdom, He lets us see the wisdoms behind why He prohibited something, or the wisdom behind why He made something permissible or commanded us to do something. But like we were saying, a lot of people have submission issues. Some people want to become Muslim, but they love, you know, their alcohol, or love a certain meal, or love a certain act that's prohibited by in Islam. So they'll tell you, I'll become Muslim, but then they'll give you the stipulation.
The stipulation's there.
Likewise, same thing for Muslims. You know, they're Muslim, they pray, they submit where it's comfortable and
where
easy.
Where it's convenient now.
And convenient, that's the magic word right there. So it's convenient for them to submit, they'll do it, but then when it disagrees, that's when they either try to find an excuse, go fatwa shopping, find somebody who says that it's halal. It doesn't matter who the person is, whether they're knowledgeable or not, just someone somewhere tell me that this is okay so I can do it.
And that's not right.
Not right at all, you know. And just to throw it in there, when you, let's say someone gives you an answer to a question, and suppose for some reason you didn't feel comfortable with that answer, and you don't have enough knowledge to either investigate it yourself, in this case you go to someone that you trust them to be, you know, pious and to be knowledgeable, and then you ask them and you get the answer. So what that means is you don't go looking for the person who will tell you what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, you would just go to someone that you trust their knowledge and you believe will tell you the truth. This is in the case where you don't have the knowledge yourself to weigh the evidences, yeah. Right? But whatever way you look at it, you don't just pick based on your desire. You know, I want to find someone who says this is halal. Now just, not to divert too much, but interestingly, there have been historically scholars who have said outrageous kinds of things, but they didn't have the evidence for it. So it's all about the evidence, not about who said what. Mm-hmm. Because you'll find, in historically, this has happened, scholars who said dog meat is halal, yeah. Right? We don't want to try that, do we? No. Dog meat is halal. Others have said that your mother has to wear hijab in front of you. These are opinions, but they didn't have the valid or the strong evidences behind them, right? So the same thing is, like, we don't just look around for someone who will say what I want to hear. We look for someone that we believe will tell you the truth and has the evidence to support it. Which is all under the umbrella of submitting to Allah, you know. It's a lot of people now when they hear a command of Allah or His Prophet ﷺ, the first thing they try to do is find a way around it. No, the first thing, try to do it as much as you can. And if not, then there could be a fatwa and an excuse for you.
So a person has to be sincere, really wanting to know what the Creator, God Almighty, Allah, wants them to do.
Yes.
What He told the messenger, just like at that time of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, at their time, they were the teachers, mm-hmm. they were teaching the people, and now we have the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who we have to follow. Not,
and his teachings
not
remain
with us.
Not pray
through him or go through him, but just follow his instructions.
Exactly, yes.
So now being sincere and wanting to know the truth, because as you said, if you're trying to look for some different opinion from this person, that person, you're going to find it. Something to match your desires.
Yeah.
And you might trick the people, but you can't trick the one who knows the hearts.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So you just try to find an allowance, then you're not really being very sincere
here. So you know? Don't play games.
Don't play games, and you'll get caught.
You'll get caught. Yeah. And the beautiful thing is evidence. Islam is all based, there's a basis behind everything we do, and there's evidence. We have, yeah. What are the criteria now that we're looking for?
Basically, and this is what Allah also tells us that in the Quran, that if you disagree about an issue, you return it to what Allah and His Prophet ﷺ have said about mm-hmm. the issue. يعني, فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. If you believe in Allah and you believe in the last day, then you return it to Allah and to the Prophet ﷺ. You see what they say about the issue, you know. Because if you want to follow, like, someone somewhere said this is permissible, you're going to actually, you can gather a lot of very, very strange things. Just like I gave the example with dog meat being halal, you know, and a woman wearing hijab in front of her own son. Others have said some really outrageous things, but they didn't have the evidence to support it. Mm-hmm. So when someone is sincere, they look for the truth. When someone is not, they just want some way out of it. So your first effort is to try to apply what Allah commands us to do or what the Prophet ﷺ commands us to do. Mm-hmm. And then if you can't, they might find you some kind of excuse. But your first effort is to try it. Today, there are some people, the minute they hear a command from Allah, the first thing they want to do is find some way around it before even attempting to do it.
That's the first.
That's not submission.
That's not, no. Yeah. Let's take a break.
Sure.
And we'll be right back on the Deen Show.
I came from a science major. When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has four corners, that's wrong.
If any Christian can point out a single unequivocal statement, a single unambiguous statement, where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, himself says that I am God, or where he says, worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity.
back here on the Dean Show with my brother and your brother. Sheikh, talk to us now. We are talking about what it is to be a submitter to the one who created you, something beautiful. This is how one gets peace. And we know that people in this way of life, the way of life of all the messengers, God sent messengers, and they revealed the same way of life, surrender and submit to the will of the Creator. And now, God Almighty, we look at people nowadays are slaves. They won't say they are, but they're slaves to the fashion. They're a slave to consumerism, to materialism, to nationalism, all these different isms. And now when you try to bring up this word about being a slave to the one who created you, there's like they feel like there's some stigma attached to this. But right. On the contrary, they're already slaves to something else. Yes. Let's talk about this. What does it mean when we say that being a slave to the one who created you?
Excellent. And the word for that in Arabic would be abd. And abd has two meanings. One meaning, abd is a worshipper of Allah Azza wa Jal. And at the same time, abd is actually a slave. And that's how the word was used also by the companions. They would, you know, abd was referred to as a slave, like if someone had a servant or something. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ prohibited them from saying, this is my abd, because only Allah owns, truly owns people. So he taught them to say, this is my boy or my girl. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that, and like you were saying, and I've actually seen some fairly knowledgeable people, when you say the word slave, they cringe a little. Mm-hmm. Like it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Or like we're not owned by Allah Azza wa Jal. But the truth is Allah owns us. We are slaves of Allah. We're owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore, He tells us what we can and can't do, even if it's with our own bodies. That's why when you look at the Sharia or the Islamic law, it goes into great details of what we can and can't do with our own bodies. That's why there's restrictions for men of what kind of hair they can remove, what kind of hair they can't remove. For women, they're not allowed to shave their head bald. They're not allowed to, you know, pluck their eyebrows. Why? Because Allah tells us what we can and can't do with these bodies.
Did you say tattoos for men?
Tattoos forbidden. Just like, you know, if you were to rent a car, suppose, you know, Eddie, you wanted to for once drive a really, really nice sports car, right? Mm-hmm. So you go and you rent a Hyundai Accent, right? And it's black in color. Mm-hmm. So, but you wanted to drive a yellow car for those 2 days, you know? And I don't know if you know Hyundai Accents, they're not really sports cars. That was a joke, but maybe it wasn't a very good one. The point is, can you change the color of that car for those 2 days that you've rented the vehicle?
Maybe make it green or yellow, like you said.
Could you?
It doesn't happen.
You couldn't, because you don't own the car.
Yeah.
Same thing with the tattoos. You know, you don't own your body, and so you can't color it and disfigure it. That's why you're not allowed to change your face. I mean, unless obviously there's a horrible accident or something. But
so what we see a lot of the celebrities with, you know, the Botox and, you know, the face stretched out here from about 100 different plastic surgeries. This is things that you cannot do.
Not a lot. Plus, they look horrible anyway.
Yeah, you're destroying yourself, mutilating yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why you're not allowed to commit suicide, to kill yourself. Because it would
forbidden
make sense.
Forbidden in Islam.
Absolutely.
It's not your body.
It's not you. If you owned yourself, you could probably kill yourself. But you don't own yourself.
This is a good fact. We weren't discussing terrorism and all these things, but it's a lot of times is you know, there's a stigma, stereotype attached to Islam, and they think, you know, Muslims, you know, killing themselves, blowing themselves up. You're telling me right now this is prohibited.
And what we're talking about is like someone, like the going gets tough, they can't handle it anymore, and then they just, you know, they poison themselves, shoot themselves, jump out of a window. You know, like
or someone going into a pizzeria and killing 1,000 innocent people.
Right, exactly.
This is not permissible in Islam.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they say there's a joke. They say the guy was about to jump off a roof, so they called the priest. The priest came to him. He said, "On your mark." All right. Anyways, so the point is, let's stick with our topic. Uh-huh. So we're saying that, you know, when you're a slave of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah owns you. So you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do.
Yeah.
You know, if He says go right, you go right. Go left, you go left. Don't do it, you don't do it, because He owns you. And that's why it's shameful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only He owns you, but He also gives you all the blessings and everything that you have that's good. And at the same time, the only way you respond to Allah is by disobeying Him. That's actually very shameful and very sad. And there's no one on the planet that would give you, suppose there's some billionaire and he just basically just bought you a house. Then he gives you a lot of cash to put in the bank and give you, you know, pocket money and spending money. Then he gives you a car and what have you. And then you use that money to put an ad in the paper to badmouth him and to badmouth his business and to say nasty things about him. Then he gives you more money. Then you put You create a whole website just to insult him and make and do. Do you think he'll keep giving you? He'll probably stop giving you. No doubt, no human being would keep giving you. And وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, which means we do not liken Allah to His creation. But look how Allah Azza wa Jal keeps giving you every day and every moment. And then you use the blessings He gives you to disobey Him. But He keeps giving you.
For our non-Muslims, you said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just so they know if somebody's never heard this word, Allah.
Allah is just the name of God in Arabic. A lot of times people, when they hear Allah, they think this might be a different God or something like that. But it's actually the same God, the God of Moses, as they say, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Jesus, or Isa, alayhi salam. So when you say Allah, basically you're just talking about God. It's the name of God in Arabic. It's not a different God or anything of that sort. And I always like to add that if you go to an Arab country and you go to a church there, you'll find that they say Allah in their service. Mm-hmm. And the Arabic Bible says Allah as well.
So Allah keeps giving and giving and giving, even though people are turning away from Him, they are doing the most mischievous things against Him.
And whenever they sin against Allah, they're using a blessing given to them by Allah to disobey Allah. Mm-hmm. You know, people who use their money in ways that are prohibited, the money is a blessing given to them by Allah, and they're using it to anger Allah. You know, some people use their eyesight to anger Allah, their hearing to listen to things that they shouldn't, or they use their tongue in a way that they shouldn't. All these are blessings from Allah. But Allah is so merciful and He's so generous, He's so giving, He keeps giving them even if they keep disobeying Him. Mm-hmm. Which is really something that absolutely fantastic, you know. But when you recognize and you link every good thing that you have in this life to Allah Azza wa Jal, then you start to naturally want to submit to Allah. Kind of like when the boss at work, you know, you link your relationship with this boss to that paycheck that comes at the end of every 2 weeks. So when he says, do this, you do it. Even if you don't agree with it, you might complain about it with the co-workers, you know, at the water cooler and what have you. But you do what he says. Even if it's a ridiculous idea, he says, we have to do it, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, because you link, you know, something good that comes to you from this relationship with your boss, that is the paycheck. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, which means we don't liken Allah to His creation. But Allah, you know, he keeps giving you every good that you have, things you can't put a price on. But then when He tells you go right, you don't go right. It's very shameful, you know. Yeah. And it puts a lot of people to shame when they recognize that. That's why when I'm saying, when you tell someone how many things Allah gave you to replace this one thing that you refuse to give up, they start to feel ashamed when they start to try to count the blessings of Allah. You know.
Tell us, how do we balance out where it's between, okay, again, we talked about being rational, logical, something that is not just blind faith, that we follow Islam, the submission of yourself to the one who created you has all the evidence that one needs to realize this is the truth. But now someone who is agreeing with that I only worship the one God, but now all the other things come into play, establishing the prayer five times a day. We see a lot of non-Muslims that they come to Islam and they do this most important thing, but then a year, 2 years later, they're still not praying.
Right.
And they might see this as now a burden. Now I got to do this five times a day. How do we distinguish where and help them to understand this is a blessing, that all these things of staying away from the, let's say, consumption of alcohol, eating of pork, gambling, so many basic things, that these are a blessing. These are things that are going to only better our lives.
Right.
Talk to us about this.
You know, if you look at the religious people worldwide, they don't drive by a nightclub and say, I wish I was misguided so I could just be in there jumping up and down like a crazy animal, you know? They feel that what they have is greater. They have bliss because what they have is greater. And when you feel the sweetness of Iman, which is the term, when you feel the sweetness of believing in Allah, everything else pales in comparison. You know, you don't look at people with piercings and purple hair and say, oh man, I wish I could do that. And people who are doing all kinds of things that are illegal and selling drugs, oh, that's so exciting, I wish I could live that lifestyle. They never feel that kind of remorse. Yeah. They feel that Allah replaced them with something better. Why? Because they tasted the sweetness of faith. But when you don't know the sweetness of faith, it's just burdensome to you. Prayer is burdensome to you. But as the Prophet ﷺ used to say, he would say, comfort us with the prayer. So he's saying, announce the prayer so it can be comfortable. Some people, they become discomforted because they didn't focus in the salah. They don't know what they're saying in prayer. So they don't feel the sweetness. In that sense, it will always be a burden. As one of the scholars said, he said, the salah is really amazing. When you try to do it quickly and get it out of the way, It takes so long and it becomes so difficult. But when you do it slowly and you focus and you love it, it becomes so easy. And I think everybody, I think, you know, you, everyone in the studio and the people listening at home, they've probably experienced this in Ramadan when they go to the long prayers. When they're focused and it's a surah that they're familiar with, they're like, oh, today the prayer was so short, especially when they don't eat too much, right?
Yeah.
You eat too much, you don't know what the imam is saying, and you're like, man, when is this going to be over? It's the same length of prayer every single day. Some days it was so light, some days it was so heavy, because you were into it or not into it, you know? And so if you don't want to be into, you know, the prayer, if you want to do everything, you know, with half-heartedly, if there's such a word, then it's going to become burdensome to you. You only taste the sweetness of faith when you start to enjoy these acts of worship, which is a possibility, of course. It's not impossible.
So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back on the Deen Show.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah.
All of the prophets would have been labeled Muslims because this essential message was the same message: submission to the will of God. This is God talking to you directly.
How can I stand behind the pulpit on Sunday morning and preach a sermon that I knew was at variance with the actual taproot of Christianity?
Back here on the Deen Show. Assalamu alaikum.
As-salam.
All right, now we're talking about submission. So either you're going to submit willingly, and a lot of things you're having to submit already. I mean, you have to take the call of nature. You have to go to sleep. So would you call these forms of submission in a sense?
You have to follow some kind of law, either laws of nature, laws of gravity.
Gravity, yes.
You know? So nobody's just totally free.
There's the law of the land.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
What's wrong with saying, you know what, people feel so comforted sometimes and very excited to say, I'm a law-abiding citizen. But what's wrong with saying or feeling like, you know what, I'm a person who abides by the law of God?
That's the best. Law.
That's the best.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
That's the way to go.
You know, but there's a problem here. Now, you know, we talked about you're happy and you're voluntarily submitting to the latest fashion. You don't want to wear hijab, but you'll put on, you know, the clothes of the latest celebrity, what's on the front cover of the magazine. You'll do that and you'll submit to what they're leaning you to submit to, pulling you to.
Right.
They're like hypnotizing you. And over here, you're having a hard time submitting to what Allah told you, put the hijab, for instance. Or you're having a hard time fasting, but now for that tournament or for that other, modeling career, you're fasting to lose weight, you see?
Absolutely, yeah.
So you're doing other things five times a day, but you're having a hard time doing the prayer five times a day. I'm just giving these examples, but so here you're submitting in one way, but to something that's going to give you ultimate success in paradise, you're not. Why is this?
Well, let me start with a quick story. Many decades ago, when I was a young man, there was I got pulled over by a police officer, and I didn't have the appropriate sticker on my windshield. I didn't know which you know, which color and all that stuff. But it struck me that this officer was really, really upset. I mean, it's not your job to be upset. I mean, your job is just to say you don't have this. The right color sticker
and
give me the ticket and say, okay, make sure you put the right one on. But he was so angry that I didn't have the right sticker on there. And I was thinking, look at how immersed he is into this law, how much he believes in it, to the fact that he's offended that I don't have this pink sticker or the green sticker. I mean, take it easy, akhi. But people can get so caught up in these things, but at the same time, perhaps, I'm not saying for sure, but perhaps that same man would overlook so many of the rules and laws of Allah Azza wa Jal, but he gets so angry about this little sticker. And it goes back to what we're saying, that if you don't submit to Allah or to the law of Allah, you're submitting to something at some point or another. It could be as ridiculous as, you know, the green sticker versus the pink sticker, and you get upset about that. So the truth is, you're going to have to submit, and you're going to submit to something. Or if you don't, like, it's funny that in the end you're going to be brought back to what you were running away from. Like in this, the scholars would say, like, that if you don't walk to the masjid when you hear the call for prayer, if you don't walk to the masjid, you'll be carried to the masjid. It doesn't mean anyone's going to force you and carry you to the masjid. It means you're going to die. And what are they going to do? They're going to wash you and bring you to the masjid. And they're going to pray over you. So if you don't come and pray, they're going to pray over you. And when they carry you and bring you to that masjid, so you're going to come in there anyways. It's inevitable.
How about the woman now that doesn't want to
Yeah, I mean, like you'll find one time this woman told me that, you know, before I put on hijab, I was saying over my dead body that I'll put this hijab on. Which hijab basically is the veil, which is a piece of cloth. And I told her that's the truth. I mean, mm-hmm. it would be over your dead body. You would die, and then they'll cover you with a piece of cloth. Then they'll bring you, pray over you, and put you in a hole in the ground. Mm-hmm. This is the reality of the situation, yeah. you know? I mean, in the end, it's linked to, you know, paradise or the hellfire, may Allah forbid, which is not something simple. Mm-hmm. So your obedience, it also has something to push you, to motivate you to obey Allah.
That's the thing, next question. How do you get motivated? There's something within. Is it something, some people, is a deficiency in the law now? Which there's no way that can be. Or is it something within the person that a person has to adjust their way of thinking? They have to go ahead and fix what's in themselves so they can get to submitting.
Well, it could be 101 different things. And that's why when you look at the way Allah will get us to do something, well, Allah will motivate us into action. He will do it in many different ways in the Quran. Sometimes He'll tell us the benefit of doing something. Sometimes He'll tell us the harm of leaving it. Sometimes He'll tell us the harm of doing it. Sometimes He'll tell us the benefit of leaving something. Sometimes He'll tell us the reward in the Akhirah, in the next life. Sometimes He'll tell us the reward in this life. And everyone, a different one of these things might strike the right chord, as they say, with that person. You know? So it's not like there's a specific formula. You say, well, this is how you stay away from your desires. This is how you... It's not always that scaring people with the hellfire is what will work. Sometimes you tell them about paradise and that will motivate them into action. So everyone gets something different and is motivated by something different.
We just have... They're signaling that we're almost out of time. If you can give some advice to those people, the sincere people who are having some issues with this state of being a true worshipper, a true slave to the one who created them.
Okay. I also want to leave with the thought that you are to submit to Allah, the one who created you, and the one that He commanded you to obey as well, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Over 60 times in the Quran, Allah will command the believers to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes He'll even equate obeying the Prophet to obeying Allah. So He'll say, "Man yuti' ar-rasul faqad ata' Allah." Whoever obeys the Prophet, he has obeyed Allah. So he made them almost equal in this sense. So everyone has the desires, everyone has what will pull you in this direction or that direction. But we recognize that we're slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He owns us, He tells us what to do, what we can't do. He is the one who gives us everything that we have. So when He tells us to do something, we try to fight against our desire, fight against whatever is pulling us and of material love of this world, and obey our Creator, because there is a greater reward coming, far greater than this dunya, and that's something that we should keep in mind, inshallah.
May we all be there in the lights
Ameen.
Of paradise. Ameen. Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair.
My pleasure.
That's what we should be striving for, paradise. This life is short. What will you live? 10, 20, 30 years from now? You can die at any minute. And at the end, you are a slave to everything except who you should have been a slave to, the one who created you. He's asked you to do something simple, to worship Him alone, to serve Him alone, and to be good, to be the best human being that you can be, to be in a constant state of development, to being the best human being that you can be. And that's not going to be achieved by following your desires. It's going to be achieved by following your Creator and the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Come back here every week to thedeanshow.com. You can visit us on the new blog section to get all of our shows. Also, on audio format, we have volume 2 of the new DVDs for Dawah, along with volume 1 that we encourage all the different masjids, organizations, Dawah affiliations, Dawah MSAs to get these in bulk and to share this message of peace, Islam, submission to the one God.
I came from a science major. When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has four corners, that's wrong.
If any Christian can point out a single unequivocal statement, a single unambiguous statement, where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, himself says that I am God, or where he says, worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see. Oh Allah, you know. All the sins I do, I turn to you to forgive my sins and my heart. I'm your sinful slave, you're my loving Lord. I'm the one who runs away, oh Allah, guide me.